I'm going to present today the results of a recently EU-funded project focusing specifically on the very last phase of confiscation proceedings, so on the so-called disposal phase. So that's why I have this title. And actually in this project we did many things, but amongst many, we kind of produced a mapping of legislation and practices on disposal. So that's what I'm going to talk about you. So first I will very briefly present you this project. It's called RECAST. Then I will touch the most recent EU developments on asset disposal. And then I will present you the key findings, so comparing the law and the practices. And then I will focus on special forms of disposal, which is social reuse, since the EU institution have shown an increasing interest toward this peculiar form of disposal. So to start with, the project is called RECAST, Reuse of Confiscated Assets for Social Purposes Towards Common European Standards, and is funded under this program of the EU Commission, the ISEC program. It is run by the University of Palermo, so actually I'm at the Catholic University, but I cooperated with them as project manager for this RECAST project, and these are the partners, which includes both research institutes, including CSD in Bulgaria, and also some practitioners and relevant agencies, including the Italian Agency for the Management and Disposal of Assets Confiscated from Organized Crime. Its aim was to provide some input to develop some common standards, common EU standards on the disposal of confiscated assets, especially for social purposes. So, and I'm going to just talk about the first two objectives, so this mapping, this comparative analysis that we made on disposal laws and practices, but I just wanted to show you all the other objectives, because if you are interested in any other of the findings, of course, later on you can ask me. So, first of all, why disposal? When we submitted this project, we realized that the disposal phase is definitely understudied, is neglected. We focused very much in the past years on tracing the proceeds from crime, seizing, confiscating them, and then what's next? Then we have to decide how to use this money, these assets. And if we are not good at that, well, we are going to nullify all the efforts done in the previous phases. So that's why we decided to focus on these, also because at the EU level, there is a remarkable lack of any binding provision on disposal. Still, over the past 5-6 years, the EU institution has kind of shown some interest towards the topic, and this is reflected in some documents, including the recent directive, and these are the documents. I'm not going into the details of each document, but, well, what are these documents including, especially the directive? They are mainly inviting, in a kind of soft way, member states to include some forms of social reuse of the assets, reuse of the assets either for, they call it, in the public interest or for social purposes, and also they invite member states to think carefully about the management of the seized assets, which is of course a very important topic, also impacting on subsequent disposal. But that's all, basically. So we made this mapping, we sent out questionnaire to people across the EU member states, and the first topic that we analyzed, because it is a very relevant topic also in terms then of disposal, how seized assets are managed. Because of course if seized assets are not managed properly, then there will be many problems when disposing of them at the end of the proceedings. And these are our key findings. Well, first of all, we found out that in most member states, there are at least some legal provisions on the management of seized assets, aiming at maximizing the value of the assets or minimizing the depreciation of the assets during the proceedings. So most member states do have this, but well, in some cases, even if in some cases these regulations are quite recent, for example, in Belgium and also in France, these have been now in place since less than 10 years. Also, we realize that the member states, the few member states not having such provisions on the management of these assets that mainly make it possible to sell these assets, we realize that these member states really feel this as a relevant gap. And this is the case, for example, of Luxembourg and also of Denmark. And we spoke with some people in Denmark that highlighted that lacking this provision, they are unable to seize certain high-value assets, including, for example, animals. They have some relevant cases of high-value animals, but simply they do not know how to manage them. So they would not seize them because they do not have neither the skills, the money, and the laws. I mean, there isn't any law helping them with that. So still, it's money, but it's left there. Still, also those countries having some provision on the management of seized assets have encountered some problems. So the failures, the wording failure, which is in the title of this workshop, here it is. So first of all, these provisions are in some cases limited to certain asset typologies. In many cases, real estate is excluded from this provision. So in most countries, you can sell only seized movable assets, not immovable. Also, there is a problem sometimes with the administrators. In Italy, we have a problem in terms of competence of these administrators. Or in some cases, for example, in the UK, this was already discussed, are too expensive. So there's a matter of cost arising. I'm just picking up some topics. A key problem in many countries, assets are in bad conditions, are already in bad conditions. And this is going to badly affect all the phases. Another problem is related, especially in the Netherlands, we found out, to the registration of these of seized assets. So registration of seized assets is not always up to date or complete. And this causes, of course, problems in the rest of the procedure. Or the interim measures are adopted with delay, so not much stuff is seized, and then it's hard to recover things at a later stage. Other key findings. Sale is the main disposal option. But we also found out that some member states, and this was then we made an in-depth analysis of this in another part of the study, some member states have forms of social reuse of the assets. So sale, but not only sale. And this is, it seems, an increasing trend towards social reuse. In terms of institutional building arrangements, we found out that in most countries there isn't any specialized approach to disposal of confiscated assets. What does it mean? That confiscation is executed exactly as any other penalty. By the same offices, agencies in charge of the execution of other penalties. But all people involved in the confiscation realm know that confiscated assets have some kind of peculiar problems in terms of vandalism, depreciation, people illegally occupying confiscated assets, etc., etc., and not adopting a specialized approach also in terms of institutional building, it's quite a problem. And also, another key finding is that in most member states, there are not legal provisions disciplining the timing of the disposal phase. Why we focus on the timing of the disposal phase? Because, of course, these are assets. They quickly depreciate and deteriorate. You have to be quick. But, I mean, laws do not help with that, let's say. Okay, other key problems regarding reuse. I have just 5 minutes left, but so just the key one. In some cases, a completely outdated legal framework. For example, in Luxembourg, legislation on disposal dates back to the 19th century. So, of course, it's not updated. And this causes problems in handling modern typologies of assets, like as shares, stock options, etc. Confiscation orders are incomplete, so the courts issue confiscation orders not including all the information on the assets. Of course, how can you enforce such orders? Another key problem, third-party claims, claims by relatives of the convicted person that, of course, delay everything. I just wanted to show you and another big problem, real estate with occupants, mortgages. So and the disposal phase, you have to face all these huge problems. I cannot go through all of these, but I will give this presentation so you can read it. I just wanted to show you some example from Italy, but I mean, I got similar pictures from most countries. How agencies in charge of disposal find properties when doing their job. This is a nice villa in Italy before confiscation and after. This is a clear case of vandalism. So also in terms of economic efficiency, is it efficient to confiscate something like this? That's a question. Another example. Windows disappeared after confiscation. And the last case, in some cases in Italy, relatives of the convicted person wanted to live in the confiscated house. And they put a coffin to discourage the execution of the final confiscation. This is from a true case, no joking. To discourage people enforcing the confiscation order. I have to skip, but we also identified many problems regarding especially social reuse. Social reuse is giving the assets back to the community. And I'm not going to pick up in detail these points, but I wanted to show you also some best practices, just to show, okay, we have some failures, but maybe we have also some successes, let's say. So we picked up these best practices. First of all, a best practice from France on the management of seized assets, the so-called seizure without dispossession. What happens in France? It is possible, especially for complex assets, the agencies in charge, which is called AGRASC, will refuse the management of the assets. So the owner will have to manage the seized assets at his expenses. So this is a way of seizing the assets without dispossessing the person. Another best practice in terms of institutional building arrangements, in Italy, France and Cyprus, we have dedicated central agencies dealing only with disposal issues. And this is turning out to be quite effective. Also, we have a best practice in terms of sale of confiscated assets at auction. For example, in Belgium, Finshop Brussels is a dedicated agency for the also online sale of confiscated assets. They can sell, practically speaking, everything. Also clothes. So, I mean, they are very specialized and they are doing a great job. Also from the UK, I heard from Ian Davidson, who was our British correspondent, that there is a best practices to coordinate criminal and non-criminal proceedings involving third parties. So those claims by third parties I was mentioning. And also a key best practice we identify is to involve citizens in the social fight against organized crime, this idea of social reuse. Very quickly on it, and then I will stop. We have already discussed today, citizens clearly can see the cost of confiscation policies, also in terms of human rights. We have discussed a lot about it today, but they can hardly see the benefits. And social reuse is exactly the way to make confiscated assets visible among citizens. That's basically the idea. And also to involve them in what is called a social fight against organized crime, because it's clearly spread a message that the state is doing something, that what was illegal is becoming legal for the benefit of the community. So it's becoming an interesting example of reuse. I'm not going through these experiences, but just to let you know that we made also an in-depth analysis of these social reuse experiences, mainly from Belgium, France, Hungary, Italy, Luxembourg, Scotland and Spain. There are different models, but the message is the same. And of course, if you are interested in these experiences, in having some more details, I'm available, and sorry if I took some more time. Thank you.